Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Genesis 19 and verse 17. Now this passage is found in the midst of that very familiar Old Testament record that tells of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the efforts put forth for the preservation of Lot and his family. The very names of Sodom and Gomorrah are synonyms of evil and indicative of sin. They're like the names of Judas and its association with betrayal, Pharisee and hypocrisy, Laodicea with lukewarmness. And in the city of Sodom lived Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Now it was the ambition and the selfishness and the greed of Lot that had brought him to make that evil city his home. When Abraham and Lot divided the land between them, Lot took first choice and chose the choicest of the land and the well-watered plains that led to these cities. And although Lot, for the most part, was a righteous man, he made a bad decision for himself and his family. He was not very long until he drifted into the midst of the corruption that characterized these places. And even though he was vexed because of the sinfulness, it was there that he chose to rear his family and to live daily. His daughters married people from that environment and were drawn away from the true and living God. His wife and two daughters, they still lived in his house. Now God announced his intentions to destroy these cities of wickedness that might be considered a moral cancer among mankind. Such intent was an act of wrath against evil, but it was also an act of mercy for those around these cities. These cities deserved destruction. And God told Abraham of his plan, and Abraham made a plea for the cities. God said that he would not destroy them if Abraham could find even 10 righteous men in them. So abominable were these cities that such could not be found. Now the angels of God, coming in the form of men, came to Lot's house. It was their mission to deliver Lot. And their message was, Jehovah sent us to destroy this place. And they had come to warn Lot and urged him, Escape for thy life. Because Lot was basically a good man, and because of his relationship to Abraham, Lot was given the opportunity to flee. Yes, he would lose all of his earthly possessions about which he had thought so highly, and for which he had such ambition to retain, but he did have the opportunity to spare his life and that of his family who still lived at home. Lest for a moment we think God was proposing something too harsh, you just remember that God is a just God. A righteous God, a God that hates evil, and a God that loves man and hates what destroys man. God is God, and he has the right to act according to his own will. And wickedness has no right to exist before God, such as in violation of the will of God. Defiance of men against God defies the very purpose for which God created man. The people of Sodom had forfeited their right to live because of their evil. After all, the earth is the Lord's, and he may do as he sees fit, and no man, certainly no wicked man, has a right to question him or his actions. But God did not desire to destroy the good with the bad if the good would only heed the warning. This is why the angels came to Lot, and they warned him, Escape for thy life. You see, their mission was twofold. One, warn Lot. And two, destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In a sense, their mission was like that of Christ. Save man and destroy sin. There are those times when the good suffer with the evil and because of the evil. There are times when the evil enjoy blessings alongside the good. But God does not want the good to suffer. And eventually there will be the eternal separation of the sheep from the goat, and the wheat from the chaff, and the good from the bad. For this reason, Paul wrote, Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Now this is a lesson that seems hard for some to learn, namely, the incompatibility between good and evil, and the inconsistency to attempt to mix the two together. God wanted Lot spared, and God wants those who love him today to escape the ravages of sin. In fact, he does not want anyone to perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Unfortunately, many will refuse and reject his offer of deliverance. Friend, this very account serves as one of God's warnings even to us. And Peter wrote, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." Now please note the urgency of the message of the warning the angels gave to Lot. In verse 15 of that chapter, "Then the angels hastened Lot." Now he was reluctant to respond to their warning. They laid hold on him and led him out when he hesitated. "Escape into the mountain, lest thou be consumed." They were simply saying, in essence, "Up, get you out of this place. There is no time to hesitate. There is no time to lose. God means what he says. You cannot survive here as you are." Friend, immediate and urgent action was demanded if he was going to be spared. How people today need to be impressed with the urgency of salvation from sin. One of the devil's lies is, "You have plenty of time yet." Friend, in but a very brief moment, life can be terminated, and the opportunity for salvation be forever taken from you. In the twinkling of an eye, we can be ushered into eternity. And Paul pleads, "Behold, now is the day of salvation," 2 Corinthians 6:2. Does it not strike you as highly significant that the accounts of the New Testament conversions, the urgency that they recognized and how they responded immediately? Those on Pentecost were baptized the same day. The jailer was baptized immediately the same hour of the night. The Ethiopian stopped the chariot at the first opportunity to obey. They knew, as we must know, salvation from sin is urgent. We know not the day or hour when life may end, or when the Son of Man might return from heaven. Now when Lot heard the warning, he had concern for others. He went to his married children and their husbands, but they gave him no heed. He seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. The love of sin, deceived by a wicked life, lack of respect for Lot, they dulled their sensitivity to the word of God, and this caused them to pay no attention. There might have been some inclination by his daughters to heed, we don't know, but they went the way of their husbands. This is what living in the midst of sin does to a person's mind. It hardens his heart to a way he doesn't care anymore. And no amount of persuasion and warning moves him. Many have scoffed at those who send forth the word of warning and pleading of the Lord to be saved. The hearers of Jesus sometimes said, "He is beside himself." Felix thought Paul had gone mad. Hearts can become so hard. Ears are so dull of hearing. Eyes are so tightly shut. This is the result of living in this present world with the sins abounding in it. Lot was warned not only to leave the city, but the surrounding plains. It was unsafe to remain in Sodom. It was unsafe to stay near to Sodom. He was to flee from the entire situation. His wife was unwilling to do that. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. A halting flight from evil caused one to perish. And Jesus warned, "Remember Lot's wife," Luke 17:32. She had left the immediate borders of Sodom. but she looked back and perished. Friend, we must leave sin and never look back. It is spiritually unsafe, of course, to remain in sin or even to stay near sin. Often the mark of wisdom is to flee, as did Joseph, from the opportunities to sin. It's not always cowardly to run. Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. We must completely cut from our lives those sins that characterize us. And while we strive to save the sinner from the error of his way, we also must shy away from sin. You cannot save the sinner by partaking of sin with him. Now, one who truly hates sin, as God hates it, will not want to remain under its influence and will avoid it. Lot's two daughters were saved from destruction because they moved completely away from the cities. As Christians, once having obeyed the plan of salvation whereby we are washed clean by the blood of Christ, we must keep putting distance between us and sin. And this is accomplished only through growth and spiritual progress. Again, Jesus warned, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven," Luke 9 and verse 62. Destruction fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone devoured the city, its inhabitants, and everything concerning it to the extent that no trace is yet found of either of these places for certain. A blight on humanity, a malignity of transgression perished from off the face of the earth. And as surely as Sodom perished, so shall the ungodly. Jesus said, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. None of the wicked escaped the wrath of God." Hebrews 12:29 teaches us that our God is a consuming fire. He will not punish unjustly. He's merciful and loving. This he demonstrates even through giving of the warnings. He provides salvation through the supreme sacrifice of his only begotten Son. Dearly beloved, we can be made clean and pure and righteous by him. But judgment came to Sodom, and only those who gave heed to the warning were spared. And those that refused the way of safety, they failed. And it is the same in principle with me and with you concerning our spiritual salvation. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." That's spiritual death, separation from God. And we can escape for our life if we would but will, because Christ saves, but not until we go his way. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.